Some of you have asked me this week, how can you teach teenagers one weekend and then adults the next weekend? And really, I use the same material. It's just for the adults, I usually tell a few more stories and water it down a little bit. And hopefully you can stay with us. But I would like you to turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Let's spend some time in God's Word this morning. It's been a beautiful worship service with our choir, our special music, our prayers. Let's hear God's Word, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, I remember when I was a child that I really did not appreciate the things my parents did for me. I just know that many Saturday mornings when I would come down to the breakfast table, there would be fresh hot donuts. I just thought they were just there, and that's the way it was on Saturday mornings. I didn't realize that my father or mother had taken the time to get up early and had run over to the store and gotten us some special donuts. And I didn't realize the number of sleepless nights my parents had when I was a little baby and just didn't sleep through the night very well. Or when I was sick, my parents would be awake with me, caring for me. I didn't realize these things until I was a parent. And now I realize them. And it's almost too late. It's almost too late. I try to call mom and dad and thank them. But it seems difficult to appreciate them the way that I should. Now, I didn't ignore them because I was a bad kid. I didn't thank them consistently because I hated them. I just didn't think about it. It just hardly ever crossed my mind. And you know, of the sacred three of the Trinity, I feel like we have in some ways maligned God. When we think of salvation, we think of the work of Jesus Christ. How can you help but think of the work of Jesus Christ? Can you see him in your mind's eye? He's suspended to a cross with nails, and he's bleeding. And he's sweating from his agony. You can think of Christ, and you thank him. Oh, Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me. And you think of the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, you're here with me now. As Tim opens his mouth, somehow you are tutoring me. You're teaching me right now. Your job is to illumine the Godhead that I might understand God. So, of course, we're cognizant and thankful for the Holy Spirit. But are we thankful for the work of the Father, the work of this Father in salvation? You know, it's interesting. When they asked Jesus, Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So let's thank the Father. Let's thank the Father this morning. But we don't want to give the Father idle thanks. So many times you'll hear somebody say, praise God. Hallelujah. But it's empty. It's empty. We should thank God specifically for works he's done. Imagine receiving a gift that has a beautiful wrapper. And you go to the gift and you can't wait to open it. And you rip open the paper in anticipation. You lift off the lid of the box and it's empty. It's empty. I think that's what our praises are like to the Father many times. Because we do not realize his specific work in salvation. Do you think that Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit have been working independently of the Father? Of course not. Let's specifically look at the work of the Father in salvation. Verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The Father qualified us. The Father qualified us. In the Greek, this word qualified means to make you sufficient or to make us competent. You know, many people don't even realize that they are insufficient apart from God. Our Western culture has put forth a theology that would propose that somewhere along the lines, as we hear the gospel year in and year out, we choose God. We choose God. We have this picture of poor little Jesus knocking at the door of our heart. Let's help Jesus out and let him in the door of our heart. But we find in the scripture, Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands or seeks God. No one who seeks God. How could a man who's morally depraved choose God? Unless God would qualify that man or that woman. Unless God would illuminate their heart. There are many who come to God and say, oh, I've found you. Through the reasoning of my mind and trial and error, I've found you. And Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. No one, universal negative, can come. That's not may come. Remember in grade school, R.C. Sproul tells a neat little story about this. Remember in grade school when you would raise your hand and say, can I have a drink? Can I go get a drink? And the teacher would say, of course you can get a drink, Tim. Are you asking for permission? May I? The scripture here says, no one can come to the Father. No one is able to come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws him. You see, God qualifies us. He qualifies us. And what does he qualify us for in the scriptures we see? He qualifies us for heaven. And according to Colossians 1 verse 12, heaven is an inheritance. Now who's fit for an inheritance but a son or a daughter? And spiritually speaking, who makes you a son or a daughter but the Father? Behold, what manner of love the Father has given us that we should be called sons of God. Who makes you a son of God but the Father? But the Father. So he qualifies us to share in an inheritance. And then he qualifies us to share in an inheritance of the saints, not the sinners. Saints are the sanctified. Now, who sanctifies us, you ask? Jude 1:1, Jude, the servant of Christ Jesus, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Sanctified by God the Father. Do you see the role of God in salvation? Critical. The author of our salvation. He's made us sons. He's set us apart to share in this inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. God placed the knowledge of Christ within us that it might illumine our minds. The light of the world has come into the hearts of men. So God made us sufficient. Now some of you say, sufficient. Sufficient. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you're perfect. Don't get on the high horse quite yet. We're not perfect. We're sufficient. This world doesn't know perfection. We won't know perfection until we see God face to face. We'll know perfection. Not until. But we are sufficient. You say, well, what's the discrepancy there? Let me try to illustrate it by giving an example of an infant. When an infant is born, it has all the faculties, all the capabilities of becoming a man. An infant's senses are perfect, and yet they'll be developed. And this infant will grow into being an adult, a man. So you're qualified. You're sufficient. And the day you see Christ face to face, you'll be perfect. But do you know, he goes on. And in verse 13, he develops this in even a more full way. Look at verse 13 with me. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So the last promise we had, he qualified us to share in an inheritance. That's a future blessing. And he says, and he has rescued us, past tense. He has rescued us. Luther said, oh, what glorious theology we find in the pronouns. He has rescued us. He rescued us. Past tense. In the Greek, this phrase emphasizes the evil state of the rescued and the superior power of the rescuer. We were dead in our sins. If you are morally dead, you cannot choose good. We needed to be rescued. I want you to hear Paul's language, would you? It says, the darkness. The dominion of darkness. Those of you who've read the scripture know Paul uses this word darkness when he's talking about a warfare. Your mind probably runs to Ephesians 6 right now. We think of that evil warfare. And in this case, it's a warfare that ends in deliverance. The dominion of darkness. The dominion of darkness. When you think of darkness, what do you think of? Don't you think of captivity? Don't you think of an inability to escape? You know, I remember one day, it was about 2 a.m. I was 15 years old. I was asleep in our home. And I woke up to the sound of a couple men in my room. This is kind of scary, but as it turns out, these were detectives, and they were searching for my older brother. They had a arrest. They had a warrant for his arrest. And they were in my closet with the doors open, throwing the clothes out over their shoulders. And the clothes were just strewn all over. I wake up, what are you guys doing in here? Turns around and says, Detective so-and-so. And we've got a warrant for your brother's arrest, and we're here searching for him. They had legal and personal right to be in my room throwing my clothes about looking for my brother. Do you know that is the exact Greek definition of this word, dominion of darkness? It means that Satan has a legal and personal right to you, apart from the work of your rescuer. You're his legal domain. Unless you have a rescuer. Do you see, we're not only under a lawful condemnation, we're also under a lawless tyrant. A lawless tyrant. This darkness has overshadowed us, and there's no way out. There's powerless. I remember when I was a little child, I used to have a recurring nightmare. And the recurring nightmare was so severe that I would begin to sleepwalk. And I would imagine myself trapped, and somebody was after me. And still in my sleep, I would arise and roam through the room, touching the walls, trying to find a doorknob or a light. Oh, I was so scared. I was just sweating. My pajamas were just soaked. Because to be in a place that you can't get out of and that you can't help yourself from is so scary. It's so frustrating. But then almost every time, my father would come to my room and he would open my door and he would turn on the light. He would rescue me. Isn't it ironic that we call Jesus the light of the world? Isn't it interesting that he's called the gate? He's called the gate in which you enter through. Now, the gate in that century wasn't just a gate that you would come up to and flip up the little handle and push it open and walk through. The gate, the shepherd, would have a corral built with stones that were stacked up. And he would leave a small opening, and the shepherd would sleep in that opening. And if anybody wanted to come in, if anybody wanted to go out, they had to go through the gate, the shepherd, the door. Jesus is the door. Put there by the Father. Give thanks to the Father who provided light. When you had no ability within yourself to find your way through the darkness, there's none righteous. You see, to be qualified, there had to be an outside power who would come and he would rescue you. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to rescue you. He worked together. Give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Father. He qualified you to share in an inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He rescued you from the dominion of darkness. And he translated you. The word in this NIV, it says, and he brought you. The word's translated. Now, when you think of translated, you think of the thing, okay, I'm trying to talk to somebody in Spanish here. I need a translator. Once you get by the como está, muy bien y tú, you know, okay, where do we go from here? Need a translator. That's not this word. The word means to physically move to another location. Josephus uses this word in his writings when he describes the deliverance of the nation of Israel from the captivity of the Assyrians. It's a translation. It's a physical movement. He rescued you, and then he moved you out of that darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. So our problem is a sin problem. Our solution is that God qualifies us. He makes us righteous through the work of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the prompting and illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been lost? I don't just mean men when we're driving and our wives know we're lost. I mean really lost. I mean scared lost. Scared lost. I've been scared lost before. I don't know where I was going, how I was going to get there. And I needed help. I needed directions. Maybe this morning for the first time you've realized, you know, all my life I thought I chose God. All my life I thought I just kind of stumbled along here and, hey, I found God. Isn't that great? I found God. I bet he's happy. The Bible doesn't teach that. Brothers and sisters, God found us and he rescued us from Satan's legal and oppressive dominion over us. And Paul uses this beautiful word, darkness, to explain to us how utterly lost we were in darkness. Let's close in a word of prayer. Pray with me, will you? Father God, thank you for your work. Thank you for qualifying those of us who are unqualified. Thank you for rescuing us. Father God, we think of you as the judge. We think of you as the harsh God of the Old Testament. And today we find you to be the Father who qualifies and rescues. Father God, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for qualifying someone who cannot be qualified in and of him or herself. Father God, we give you thanks. Father, we want to lift those to you who you've illuminated through your scriptures this morning. We pray your Holy Spirit would be loosed on them, as we know in John 16, to do the work of conviction of sin, of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and of the judgment to come. Oh God, reveal the light of your word, the knowledge of Jesus Christ within their dark hearts, that they might see their sin and run to you. Oh God, may this be taking place right now as we pray. And Father, for those of us who know you, we thank you, our Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, your only Son. Amen.